Heavenly Father, we are embarking on this most important, terribly important study. Just even a quick looking is all we can do. Don't have time to do it all. So you speak to us. Make us understand what we need for your name's sake, not for our minds, our knowing, the exaltation of self, but for your kingdom. That's all we need to know. Within your name we pray. Amen. If you would turn to Psalm 51. Psalm 51. Everyone knows that this psalm, that famous psalm, after David has been caught and confronted, and he makes a statement in, verse 11. Do not cast me away from your presence. Do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Now, this is the first mention in the Bible of, at least where we see this phrase, the phrase Holy Spirit. It, of course, is capitalized. Let's uncapitalize it. Not that it's not holy, and not that it's not spirit. The word is ruach. Do not take your holy. God's spirit is what? I mean, it could be a modifier, not necessarily a title. Your Holy Spirit. Look what David is talking about. Create in me a clean heart and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and sustain me with a willing spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will be converted to you. Oh my goodness, there's way too much for us to talk about right there. That is just amazing stuff. But what David is doing is relying back on the Spirit. All of this, he is talking about the Holy Spirit. I find it interesting. Do not cast me away from your presence. Do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Almost sounds like a plea for his life. It really does. We, of course, say the word Holy Spirit, and it becomes out as one word, but that's not what he was saying. Now, you know that I have this weirdness about me, that I have just about gotten to the point, and I've continued the study in Ruach and Pneuma, and there are very, very few instances of all of the, and of course it was, there's many of them, pages and pages and pages of notes of the word Ruach and the word Pneuma. And you know that I have just about gotten to the point, I do not believe man has a spirit apart from God. So many, I've been shocked, so many of the main scriptures that we use to prove that absolutely do not prove that, if you just take a look at them. Knowing that the word, again, is up for grabs from the translator. Pneuma is the same word in the that is also for breath. Ruach is also the same word for mind, and they'll use it for soul, and they will use it for spirit, and they will use it for breath. And it, what the translator decided to do, that's what he did. And if you already believe man has a spirit apart from God, then there are, that's the way that you are going to translate the scripture and make it look that way. Now, I could be wrong, okay? So that's not what this whole talk is about. What we are going to be starting to study, and oh my goodness, is it going to be shallow, because we're already out of time. Yes. We do not have time to study everything about the Holy Spirit. You have seen the first occurrence of it in Scripture, of the phrase. Please turn to Isaiah chapter 63, please. I think it's 63. I may have to look in my computer. Johnny, you have yours up? Yeah, Isaiah 63:15. Just stay right there. Stay calm. 63:15. Yeah, I looked at something wrong. 63:10. Okay, I put down the wrong verse. But they rebelled and grieved his Holy Spirit. Therefore, he turned himself to become their enemy and fought against them. This is the second and only other use of the term Holy Spirit that we see in the Old Testament. We just saw them. We just exhausted that. Now, why would it be that way? I think a big part of it would be the Hebrews already knew God's Spirit, it's holy. And they don't have to, they would just simply say His Spirit. And it is in the Greek scriptures that we really start to see the use of the phrase Holy Spirit. And we've looked in the book of Acts, and we're going to continue to read through the book of Acts at different times. But I want to look at, I guess one of the things that I want us to think on, begin to realize, get this out. The Holy Spirit is God. God is a spirit. He's not going to have a separate thing that is His Holy Spirit. Do you understand? I mean, it's His Holy Spirit, but God is spirit. But we have been trained. Now, haven't we? Oh, so well. And boy, are the Jews, I mean, you can't talk to Jews about this. Try to talk to a Jew, about the Trinity. They are, what do we say in the synagogue? Shema! Shema, Israel! What is it? Our God is one. And when Jesus is asked, I believe he does the asking. What's the greatest? Well, hear, O Israel. They repeat it. Our God is one. Yep. Our God is one. They listen to us and they say, you have three gods. Oh, they just simply don't understand the mystery. I don't know anybody else that does either. I keep listening for people that can actually explain what we are talking about, and they can't. take refuge in the fact that the word Trinity is not in Scripture anyway. Now, I am not preaching against our God and against the Holy Spirit or anything else. It's not what the point is. And we're not going to get over it into, let's argue the Trinity and kill one another. And by the time we're through with that, the righteous one will win. I want us, I just got scriptures here Times New Roman 12, one verse per of just the Holy Spirit in the New Testament. 38 pages. Ouch. Let's start with Matthew, and we're going to go through just a few of these, and then we're going to go back to Acts, because this all started with the Lord saying to me, I want you to teach the gifts, about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We're going to get there probably sooner than later on that, because I want to get that in, but then we're going to start just kind of cruising in the Holy Spirit and going, wow. The reason I have had the introduction this evening that we just had is to make you realize something. The Holy Spirit is God. This is the Spirit of God. Well, that's a stupid sounding statement if you get down to it, because God is a spirit. This is the body of Mike Davis. That's kind of dumb. He just showed up. Hey, the body. Nobody goes, hey, the body of Mike Davis just walked into the room. I mean, I guess we could start talking like that. We're already cultish enough. We might as well come up with language that freaks everyone out. God is a spirit, and His Spirit is holy. And when you look at the phrase Holy Spirit, just simply think, wait a second, this is the Spirit that is God. This is God doing this. Instead of make it some kind of separate thing, it's us that have done this. We're the ones that have done this separation thing. The Holy Spirit is God. It's not, and we speak of Him as if He is a lesser of something. I mean, we do. Somehow He's the one that is, oh, how disgusting. He's the least of the Trinity. Don't we talk of it that way? This is God. This is God. And and what I'm trying to do is mess with your minds. I know that's a shock to you. That you would begin to think differently. God wants you to think differently. To not look at the Holy Spirit, well, there's that it over there. The Holy Spirit is God. And so it's simply talking about Yahweh. That's what's going on when you see that phrase. Let's look at just the beginning of a few things in Matthew, just to kind of realize that it's God involved here. Okay, it's God messing around in mankind's stuff. Please turn to Matthew. We're just going to look at a few verses. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18, please. And we'll go down to 20. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. When His mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child by God. Reads a little different, doesn't it? Now the word, I understand, is by the Holy Spirit, but it's the Spirit of God that is holy. I don't have 19 in my notes. Go down to 20. When he had considered this, behold, a messenger of the Lord, an angel of the Lord, appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, Son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of God. The Spirit of God that is holy. God, after 400 years of silence, has re-entered. I never wrote the song, but the title was great. One of those. Oh, yeah, that's a great title. That would be good to write about it. And when God spoke, it was a baby. 400 years of silence, and when he spoke, he's going to say it really loudly, it was a baby. A baby? What are you talking about, an end around? What was Satan looking for? A great king of the Jews. And he's just this stinky little rascal born in a cave. That can't be him. Messed poor Satan up there. Matthew chapter 3, please. We see John the Baptist speaking here, and chapter 3, verse 11, as for me, I baptize you with water for repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I. I am not fit to remove his sandals. He will baptize you with the Spirit and with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Now, again, stop to think about something. I want you to think about what was said, because we don't. We flippantly read these things. John is making a statement to those that are believers and going to be believers. Jesus Christ, your Savior, your Redeemer, he's the one that's going to baptize you in the Holy Spirit. He is going to. Now, maybe this will make a little bit of sense out of a scripture that you've looked at before. The disciples are just dropping people all over the place. Boy, let's go dunk them or sprinkle. There was plenty of water, so we're going to go that they were Baptists. And that's what that scripture says. Now, why would it put in that other little phrase? Who remembers the little phrase? What does it say? Anybody remember it? Okay, we're going to look it up. Look it up. Johnny, you got a computer? Who's got a computer? A lot of computers hanging around. Get over into the New Testament, and it says, look up disciples and baptizing, something like that. I don't know. See what you find. It's somewhere in the Gospels. Did you find it?
Do you know what the phrase is?
Are you talking about where the disciples baptized him, but Jesus wouldn't?
Yeah.
John 4:1.
What?
John 4:1.
John 4:1. Please turn there and look at it. Come on, folks, when you're looking in the Bible and you see something that's weird, it's weird. There's reasons it's weird. It's to get your attention. Look what it says. Read it out loud, David.
When, therefore, the Lord knew that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus was making and baptizing more disciples than John, although Jesus himself was not baptizing, but his disciples were.
Why would it make that statement to us? Why? To make sure you understood something. They were using water. He was going to be using fire. Oh, dear. Can we discuss this? Fire and Jesus Christ himself was going to baptize you in the Holy Spirit. This is just to start thinking differently. Come on. This is the Spirit of God that is holy. We talked about it the other day. The holifying Spirit. The separating Spirit. The Spirit that is in you because you now have a different breath. That Spirit that is in you goes into your heart. And when, again, repeating it, when you meditate upon Scripture, it goes into your soul, your mind first, and you are meditating upon it. It goes into your soul. Eventually, it goes into the will, because it starts out in the mind, but when you think on it enough, your belief system changes, it goes into the will. when it goes into the will, remember the will is the thing that we behave with. You make up your mind. Okay? I decided I will go do this. I will do that. Okay? You go and do it. I'm going to eat. I'm going to sit down. That's your will speaking. And when your belief system has been changed by God's word through meditation, it goes from your mind to your will. And now a very exciting thing happens. The author of the scripture, the God's very spirit in you, now agrees with your will. Romans 12:2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Urge your brother and mother mercies together. Okay, well, let's go with verse 1. Can't leave that. I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, not your own mercies, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living and holy, separate sacrifice, which is your, simply, your spiritual service, worship service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. I'm going to mess it up. I'm trying to remember it. So that you, how does it go? You may prove the will of God, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. What's the will of God? It's that is good, acceptable to who? God and perfect. God. Good God. That you may prove His what? Will. What happens is when the word goes in, your will now agrees with His will. And now you act. And that is called faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. The evidence of a belief system you cannot see. What's the evidence of a belief system? Behavior. Okay. Now, turn to, most of you all know this, Titus chapter 2. Go to our verses that we go to so frequently, please. Ms. Davis, would you read those for us?
Hello. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation.
Okay, just a second. The grace of God has appeared.
Through Moses came the law, but what happened with Jesus Christ? Grace. Okay, grace and truth. It came. So it's appeared. Grace has appeared. All right? Go ahead, Bob.
Bringing salvation to all men, instructing us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires.
All right, do you hear right there?
Ungodliness, what would that be? Probably defined in the law, go that way. But you hear what grace is saying, what it's doing. Grace is instructing us. It's instructing us to deny ungodliness, to deny worldly desires. Go ahead.
Worldly desires and to live sensibly, righteously, and godly in this present age, looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus.
Wait a second. Go back. Read that again. Put in recognition. I want you to listen. As you read, go on.
Looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of the recognition of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. That's the literal. Who gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for Himself a people for His own possession, zealous for good deeds.
Do you hear what grace is doing in there?
Now, why am I talking about this? Because grace, I personally believe, this is not a real problem to believe this. Grace is the Holy Spirit. That's what she just read. Grace is the Holy Spirit. What else could it be? Some pixie fairy that floats by and throws dust on you or something? Grace is the Holy Spirit. Now, grace is certainly God's favor. But think of it, folks. It's got to scream at us. Two-thirds of the Bible does not have the phrase Holy Spirit in it. Two-thirds of it. Why? Because those particular... this is just so exciting. I'm sorry. Mrs. Davis, read Titus again. I want you to listen.
The whole thing, but especially at the end. Go on, read it again.
For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men.
Is that whole salvation. Line
there? Yeah, I just was looking at it. Instructing us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires and to live sensibly, righteously, and godly in this present age, looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of recognition of our God, great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed.
Redeeming us? He's not
from sin, but from lawless deeds. Why? You did lawless deeds. He's redeeming you from that. How? How? Because the very Spirit of the living God is inside you. Go on, because he's about to say it. Go on. Purify, Holy Spirit. Go on.
People for his own possession, zealous for good deeds.
For his own possession.
Listen, folks, I'm going to say it again. I believe the biggest difference between the other covenants, we know there's more than just six in the old covenant, but those are the major six. Those major six covenants, the difference between them and the new covenant is stated here. Okay. Redeem for himself.
Redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself a people for his own possession, zealous for good deeds.
To purify for himself a people for his own possession. There are places that I'm quite Calvinistic. And I'm probably a much better Calvinist than Calvin was in terms of this. I do not believe that man has free will. Man. Why? Now, there may be times, listen to me, there may be times that he is acting out of his own will freely. But the Bible says that man is a slave. That is not freedom. Mankind is a slave to evil, period. And when Jesus, and we read some of the scriptures this morning, remember the meek and lowly Jesus scriptures, and he's looking at the religious leaders and saying, and looking at those that believed on him, making sure he's getting good points with them, Jesus, you don't want to upset them. It's the congregation. They'll leave and go down to Second Church. They'll go down to Calvary. Or worse yet, they're going to go to one of those charismatic things. Be good. Don't upset them. Jesus was saying to those Jews who had already believed in him, you are of your father, the devil. Oh, can't you see? I don't know. I don't know who it was. He surely had a PR man in the back there somewhere. Probably Peter. Dear. No wonder things didn't work out quite like, you know. Peter. How far be it for thee, O Lord. It had to be Peter. Oh. You're upsetting them. He's talking to those who had believed on him. And he used the phrase, you are of your father, the devil. He could have used that on anyone outside of the new covenant. I say it again. We are owned until we are redeemed. Well, wait a second. All have been redeemed. The salvation, though it doesn't say, has been accepted by all. It has appeared to all. Okay? The all, it has appeared to them, but not all receive. And that means they don't receive their freedom. But mankind has been bought and paid for. And as I've said before, I believe the real difference between the six and the one is ownership. And in that ownership, here's the big deal. The big difference is the Holy Spirit. Well, didn't God have a Holy Spirit back then? Do you hear how stupid that is? God is a Holy Spirit. What are you talking about? I mean, did God have a Holy Spirit? God is Holy Spirit. I didn't say God is the, God is Holy Spirit. But because He is holy, great God is not going to violate His own law. You shall not steal. And God could have come in and just taken us all. Satan, I'm taking them. What would have he had? I'll tell you what he would have had. He would have had what we were speaking about this morning. He would have had a heaven full of eternal beings that hated him. He would have had a heaven and an earth full of people that walked the stupid aisle, listened to just as I am, and did not do anything in his direction. Cared less about him. But he got him saved and he got him into heaven. Vegas has come to heaven. Nolan's has come to heaven. Louisiana. Paris. Folks, do you hear what is being said? Now, what happened was that we all had to die in Christ. We all had to die, and there had to be a price for our redemption. In other words, the payment. What are you worth? You go to the store and you redeem with money the worth of the object. You are redeeming. God did not steal. He gave a fair, in fact, he got ripped off, price for the entire human nation, race. But with that, one of the big things that changed was the Holy Spirit didn't come for short visits. He did not come for short visits. The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of the living God that was holy, would come upon man. Turn to 2 Peter, please. 2 Peter. Second Peter 1, verse 20. But know this first of all. Seems like he's kind of excited about this. First of all. 2 Peter 1, 20. Know this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever made by an act of the human will, but men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. Do you see, we are seeing right here the movement of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit spoke from God. Why? It was His Spirit. It was God. And No prophecy of Scripture, by the way, prophecy just would mean a speaking out of truth. It's not necessarily talking about prophecy. It could be. But it's simply truth from Scripture is a matter of your own interpretation. No prophecy ever made by an act of human will, but men moved by the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit didn't stay. We see that over and over again. We see, of all things, King Saul prophesying. Didn't stay. We see David making that amazing statement. Do not do what with the Holy Spirit? Remove. Don't take it away. Okay? Now, bad news, David. It can't stay. Because you are owned by someone else. Are you guys following? Yes, sir.
The Spirit... God didn't have jurisdiction to stay and remain. How did he have jurisdiction to come visit?
How did he have?
If the Spirit,
because the earth is the Lord and all it contains. He owned them. He owned us, but the title belonged to Satan. There's actually Jesus gives a parable about it with the landowners. That it's speaking of, wait a second, there is landowners that have jurisdiction over the thing. The real ownership of the earth and all it contains is God's. However, man, with his free will that God gave him at the beginning,
said, I will listen to Satan. My ear has turned toward him. And when that happened, Satan became the master of man and the owner of man. We now were enslaved to evil and owned, even though I guess the ownership was actually belonged to God. You know, he could kill us anytime he wanted to. He could have taken us from Satan anytime he wanted to. You understand what I'm saying? Because he had that kind of power. But he was righteous. And Satan had the deed to us, if you want to put it that way. Leased, we were leased. And he wasn't going to break the lease. Does that make sense? Sort of? Good. Yeah. And it's true, but it's something to think about. Mankind, and how did Jesus put it? Son of the devil. Okay? We have the genealogy of Satan now. But Jesus changed that. We died in him. And now what could happen is the breath of life could now come back into mankind and could stay. Remember, and another reason that I bring this up is at the baptism of Jesus. And John the Baptist makes that odd but very interesting statement. The Holy Spirit told me, when I saw the Holy Spirit descending on him, and what? Remained. I knew that was the one. Why? That was the body of Christ. The body of Christ and the Holy Spirit could come down and remain. Jesus was not a son of the devil. Jesus had been formed in the womb by the Holy Spirit, not by iniquities and lust of man. Isn't it interesting? The Pharisees were saying, we're not born of fornication. Fussing at Jesus about this, and he's going, what did he have to do? He had to sit there and take it. He had to be patient about it. You know, he could have said, you guys, let me explain this to you. I don't think they'd ever understood it. But fascinating thing for them to accuse him of when exactly the opposite was truth. As I've said, the Holy Spirit is, I believe, the big difference in the old between the old covenants and the new. It now remains. Think on it. Jesus Christ looks at us and he says, "It's to your advantage that I go away. Because if I go away, then the Holy Spirit can come to you." The Holy Spirit is designed to live. Remember, it's the Spirit that is holy. It is designed, the Holy Spirit is designed to live in a receptacle that would look like Christ's body. Okay? And so, when he leaves, he goes and he says, "I will ask the Father. I will ask the Father, and he will give you." What confidence? What cheek? What do you mean you're going to go ask the Father and he's going to give you? What do you think, you're the Son of God? And that's exactly what happened. The Holy Spirit now fills the body of Christ, just like it did then. With that, we are ambassadors of Christ, and we are to be taking back the topos that Satan has gained through the world, through prayer and the Word. Through him owning us. And we take that ownership to the rest of the world. In the name of Jesus Christ, we are doing that. But it is by the Holy Spirit, which has, we can't go into everything about it right now, but it is by the Holy Spirit that these things are done. His power is there. Questions or comments on what we've talked about so far? Ms. Davis? Anyone? Yes, ma'am?
I think I get what you're saying on the whole lease ownership thing. It's kind of like if God owns the house, but he's leased it out to Satan. As the owner of the house, he has the right to come and check up on it sometime, but he can't just move in and live there until he buys the lease out from Satan.
That's a good way to think of it.
Jesus talked about it. When a demon goes out of a man, he goes out and he goes through waterless places and he comes back and he finds what? What's it say about us? The house, we the house, clean. That's what he comes back and he finds the house. And he's able to move in because he still owns the thing. All that happened was he got kicked out momentarily. But the person didn't dirty the house up. Instead, they cleaned it up. What does clean look like to a demon? You understand, the person kept on walking and going in a sinful way. Anyone else? Do you guys understand what I'm saying? Okay. Now, there's all sorts of places that we could go with this, but I want us to go to John chapter 14. I just want to read John 14:26. The Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to remembrance all that I said to you. Teach you all things, I like to point out, as meditation. Bring to remembrance all that I said to you is memorization. The Holy Spirit sent to help us, actually, with engrafting God's Word into our hearts. I never finished up a while ago. The Holy Spirit, when the Word goes into our soul, it first goes into the mind, into the will, and then when it begins to act with the Holy Spirit, guess what happens? This is when it gets to be taken through the emotions. Now you may think, oh great, It's time. Unfortunately, the charismatics think this way. Oh, it's time for us to start dancing and being happy, and that's not what it's talking about. Your emotions now come under the control of the Holy Spirit. Remember the fruit of the Spirit, and one of the major ones that we talk about is the control of self. It's not an out of control emotions, but when the Word becomes real to you through the life of the Holy Spirit, the very author, which is why another reason we read that scripture, that men spoke moved by the Holy Spirit to bring about scripture, that you are actually having the author of that scripture within you. I think he might agree with it. And wow, what joy. The reason most Christians are not having joy is because they're not abiding in the Word. I might add, too, here, it's not just abiding in the Word. They do not go to the Word with humility. Receive. How does it go in James? In humility? Yeah, in meekness, King James. In humility or meekness, receive implanted the Word which is able to save your soul. The problem, if you do not go to the Word with humility, is you will not receive it. Go to the Word with, okay, I'm going to the Word. What I think does not matter. And the way that I am going to the Word is, I am going to receive this. I am simply going to believe it. This is mine. It has been given to me, and it has been given to me to change my humanistic, egocentric, anthropocentric, Mike Davis-centric belief system, to change it over to God's belief system. And we do not go to the Word with this attitude of, I'm underneath it. I'm going to receive it as a gift. I'm really pulling it in. And when you receive the Word, it does save your soul through your mind, into your will, and then I delight to do thy law. Now it's gotten to the emotions. And they're become... Because you could do the law before, but now because that is in you, I can delight to do thy will, O Lord. You hear that? Emotions and the will. I delight to do thy will. Make sense? It does. Turn to John chapter 20, please. Verse 22. Now, again, all I did was I grabbed sentences from these things. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Now, I don't have the verses around there because I'm reading from this computer. Does somebody have a... Ms. Davis, do you have that? Or are you still back over in Titus looking at the Greek? Joe?
Read some verses around that so we can get this into context. Where's he at right now?
Jesus appears to the disciples.
Just the last breakfast?
Let me just read it.
What?
It's where Thomas, he has to see his hand.
Right, okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
I'm starting on verse 19. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then his disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even to you, even so I am sending you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you withhold forgiveness from any, it is withheld." And then he goes, "Now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with him when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, 'We have seen the Lord.' But he said to them, 'Unless I see in his hands the marks of the nails, and place my finger in the mark of the nails and place my hand into his side, I will never believe. 8 days later, his disciples were inside again, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and put your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Do you want to keep going?
No, thank you, Joe. What do we see?
First, peace I leave with you. What was that peace? Let's go back over to, I'll put this down and grab a Bible. What he said, "Peace I leave with you," and having said this, what happened? Then what happened? Isn't that right? Isn't that what?
"Peace I leave with you," and that's what, is that when he breathed on it? Did I?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Turn to John 15, I believe. We'll see if I'm telling you the truth. Oh, Acts. No, it's 14. Okay. All right, everybody. Listen. Look in verse 25 and listen to what's being said. "These things I've spoken to you while abiding with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send within my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you." "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives to, I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, nor let it be fearful." Oh, come on. Where's it at? Yeah. Look back up. Same chapter. Verse 16. No. Verse 14. "If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, you will keep my commandments." It's all about. Next word, "and." So it's meditation, keep my commandments, and "I will give you another helper that he may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not behold him or know him, but you know him because he abides with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you." Folks, that's his peace. That is the peace. The Holy Spirit is the peace. Now, if this may shock you a little bit, but if I remember right, the kingdom of heaven is what? Righteousness, peace, and joy. Where? Resting in. Specifically resting in the Holy Spirit. Resting in the very life of God is what this is. Are you getting a different picture, I hope, than what you've walked with in, Well, yes, he is the lesser member of the Trinity. And it, of course, it only gets worse. Wait till we start talking about the gifts and the incredible excuses that they give on why they're not there. I am a denominational pastor, and I am dead. No wonder they don't believe they've been raised with Christ. They haven't. So sad. He breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Amazing. Just like he did at creation. And man became a living soul. Remember, this is about a zoeing soul. He became a life soul. Not just a soul. Luther has a soul. He's mostly fur. But he's got a soul in there somewhere, if you really look around. And Mrs. Davis has preached the gospel to him. I don't know if she's breathed on him and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Probably not. We don't want him barking in tongues. Not another dog to do interpretation. What did he say? Man is different, though. God has set us up. And he says, "I want to live in you." That's from the very beginning. The very beginning. This should rattle our cages. It should get us so excited. You should not be able to sleep tonight. You should just struggle with insomnia because you're going, "Oh my goodness, I'm alive. I've got a different breath. Everything about everything is different. I am filled with the living God." That's what this is. From the beginning, he made the choice to put his breath in mankind. He did it. He put his ruach in us by his own choice. And we chose to say, "No, I'll breathe another evil air." And it caused death in us. And so Jesus came and hurried the whole thing up. They're all dead, but they will all now re-die within me. And they died, we all died in Christ, and then got resurrected from the dead. And Jesus went, "Whew, receive." Breathe in. Fill your life with it. This is not about, although you can get emotional about this, this is not about emotion. This is about life. Ms. Davis?
Supply, when they would be filled with the Holy Spirit, they would speak boldly. Because they had peace. And, you know, their peace wasn't the fear. And I know Paul said fear is within, fear is without. I think his may have been more related to that he would speak from himself rather than, you know, total trusting in the Lord. But, you know, they would go out and be speaking boldly because they had the peace of God upon them.
Yeah.
The fear of man wasn't there.
Yeah, that's right. And the wind of heaven blowing through them.
Yeah, very good. Thank you. Anyone else?
So kind of what I'm getting from what you've been saying tonight is basically that the Holy Spirit is not to be thought of as something apart from God, but is to be thought of as the form of God that can be received within man. That it's how
it's too far from it at all.
How God got into us and how he is in us is through the Holy Spirit. It's not the Holy Spirit is something other than God. It's that that's how God is able to come into us.
That's
through
God
the
in us, yes.
Yeah. And remember, is it Isaiah, let's see here. Where I know it's I say it's in Isaiah. For unto us a child is born. What? Isaiah 9. For unto us. That's not there. What?
I think it's also in Psalms.
Okay. I'm looking for where does it say his name? Right there it says his name will be Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace, which makes for good singing.
but where does it say his name shall be called Emmanuel? Where is that?
7:14.
Still in Isaiah.
Yes.
Right. Behold, a virgin shall be with child, bear a son, and she will call his name Emmanuel. Now, where did you ever hear Jesus called Emmanuel? He was not called Emmanuel. And this is what I brought up a couple of years ago in meditation. The Lord said, my Holy Spirit has got a name. The name is God with us, Emmanuel. You understand? Suddenly it made sense. We never hear that, but yes, it is. What is the Holy Spirit? It's what Johnny was just saying. This is God with us. God with us. Emmanuel. Anyone else? Sir.
Jesus told his disciples to tarry in the city until they received the power from on high, which was the Holy Spirit. What was the difference between that and when he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit?
I've wondered that. You know, there was the time that he breathed on them before they were redeemed.
And they had the Holy Spirit, caused all sorts of issues. That was... Oh, only 7:05, so y'all shut up and be quiet. Remember, this is just, Jesus was watching. Ah! Could you imagine? He's there, and the Father has finally brought him into what he has been waiting for. I don't think we get it for eternity. He is walking among men. And he's walking among the 12, sort of. And he's with them, fellowshipping with them. And he sends them out, as well as others. And they all come back, all excited. Master, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And Jesus said, before he said the famous part that everybody always talks about, don't be so excited about this, but that your name is... Before he said that, I think it was before, he said, behold, I saw Satan falling like lightning from heaven. Again, this gets us into all sorts of things we've talked about before, but Satan had access into heaven. He had a topos in heaven. Now, I'm going to go through it again, so you might as well get ready for it, but you can get this way. Okay, I've heard it for the 400,000th time. He had a topos in heaven. but he had a topos on earth, and he also had a topos in you and in me. And Jesus is walking with his disciples, and he is, they are hearing the truth. He is discipling them. They are receiving the word, and they are growing, and oh, they're going to fail because they don't have the Holy Spirit in them fully. But Jesus is watching a little bit at a time, the chipping away at the satanic kingdom on this earth. Satan, evidently at the time that the disciples were sent out, had moseyed on up into heaven, doing a little accusing of the brethren up there. Hey, have you seen this one? Have you seen this one? Don't you know it was so dull? God was going, I wish somebody would take care of him. Your son's about to, sir. Thank you. Na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na. And all of a sudden, there's something going on in the earth that's not supposed to be going on. The stinky, smelly fishermen, zealots, whatever they were, are going around. What do you mean they're ordering my demons around? These are men. They're underneath me. They've got this name. I don't seem to quite understand it. And they've got the Holy Spirit in them, at least for a while. And Satan fell from heaven. Not fell, but there's an emergency, and I believe this is what was going on. He looked up, and oh my goodness, with great anger, what's going on down here? I've got to kill this Jesus person, and I'm going to kill a few disciples along with it. That'll take care of it. We've seen this kind of thing before. We scared all of them. Remember, we scared Elijah after he caused that great revival. We'll get to these people too. And so I don't think he fell. I think he was just roaring down at high speed out of heaven. Jesus saw it. The Holy Spirit did not stay with them at that time. He could not. Now, we do see that one time after their redemption, but had they been redeemed fully? Jesus looked at them and he said, all authority is being given to me on heaven and earth. But they had not been fully redeemed because something else had to happen. Turn. Turn. Yeah, y'all turn over there. Hebrews? Is that right, Miss Davis? Is that right? You were what? Peeking ahead, were you? She is really into eschatology. Well, that's good, but I don't think that's it. Where does it say that Jesus sat down? Where is that? Is that? Yeah.
First Peter chapter 3, the last verse.
1 Peter 3, the last verse. I want a number.
I don't know. Okay. I don't know if that's the one you're talking about. I think
that's that'll work. That's a good one.
Are you thinking 4:11 maybe in 1 Peter?
I bet that's a good one too. There's a lot of good verses in this book.
There's one in Hebrews 12 to... where it says, despite the shame, and is set down at the right hand.
Hebrews 12, what?
2. At the right hand of
the throne of God.
That is exactly not it.
Right hand of God, having gone into heaven,
enter
angels
of
praise and praise.
Thank you.
Subjected to.
Okay. Good.
Is that it?
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. Three. What did you say it was?
322.
22. Twenty-one. Corresponding to that, baptism now saves you. Really? Well, that's not quite what he's saying. Not the removal of dirt from the flesh, but an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who is at the right hand of God, having gone into heaven after angels and authorities and powers had been subjected to him. Now, that's not completely it either. Where is this? No, I don't think it's in Mark. I don't think it's in the Gospels, but you could be right. Mark 16, 19. No, that's right, but it's not the one I'm looking for. Maybe it's not in there. I may have dreamed it or something. That's the one I'm thinking of, is Ephesians.
His haughty power and might, that one.
Okay. Turn to Ephesians. Everybody still awake? You should be having insomnia right now.
My goodness. Verse 15. For this reason, I too, having heard of the faith in the Lord Jesus Christ which exists among you and your love for all the saints, do not cease giving thanks for you while making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, recognition, may give to you a spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him, that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, so that you may know what is the hope of his calling. Now look at this. This is for us to know these things. This is what Paul seems to be excited about. This is about what we talked about this morning. This is identity. That you may know what? The hope of his calling. On who? You. That you may know what are the riches of his recognition of his inheritance in the saints. And that you may know what is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe. There is a period there that is not in the text. There are words there that are italicized that are not in the text. Listen to the way that it runs. That your heart may be enlightened so that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in saints, what is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe in accordance with the working of the strength of his might. That's the way we believe. We are believing in accordance with the strength of his might. What's that? Which he brought about. There's nothing that you can do. He brought it about. How? When he raised him from the dead, seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above, not just sort of a little bit above him, but far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things in subjection under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the ecclesia, which is the body of Christ. It is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Now, back to 1 Peter, please turn over there. Not 1 Peter. Where was the one in Hebrews? Hebrews was in 12, but I had my finger on a different one. Where is it in 12? That wasn't it. I heard 1:3 and what? Yeah, 10 is where I'm looking at. 1, you said 1 where? 3? We're getting there. 1:3. He is the radiance of His glory and the exact representation of His nature, upholds all things by the word of His power. When He had made purification of sins, He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high, having become as much better than the angels as He inherited a more excellent name. Now, this is bringing me to begin to remember. I'm looking for, it says, where He sprinkled His blood on the altar in heaven. Where is that? I think it's in Hebrews. Maybe it's in 10. I don't know.
May obey Jesus Christ and be sprinkled with His blood.
No. It talks about that He.
After He made the purification.
Yeah.
Is that?
Where's that?
I don't know.
Okay.
Hebrews 9:5.
No. 9:21.
9 what?
21.
Yeah, it's in this area somewhere. Okay, all of those are right. Go to Hebrews 9, verse 20. This is the blood of the covenant which God commanded you. And in the same way He sprinkled both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry with the blood. According to the law, one may almost say all things are cleansed with blood. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. Therefore, it was necessary. Now, we just got to it. It's in 23, so we just need to kind of keep on going. Necessary for the copies of the things in the heavens to be cleansed with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ did not enter a holy place made with hands, a mere copy of the true one, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Nor was it that He should offer Himself often as the high priest enters the holy place year by year with blood not His own. Otherwise, He would have needed to suffer often since the foundation of the world. But now once, at the consummation of the ages, He had been manifested to put away sin by the sacrifice of itself. Inasmuch as it appointed for men to die once, after this comes the judgment. So also Christ, having offered once to bear the sins of many, shall appear a second time for salvation without reference to sin, to those who eagerly await Him. If we go on down, look in verse chapter 10, look in verse 11. Every priest stands daily. By the way, Hebrews is centered on covenant. I'm telling you, you cannot understand the book of Hebrews if you do not know blood covenant. It is so sad, it'll just separate your head from your shoulders when you do. Whoa! Look at all of this. Every priest stands daily ministering, offering time after time the same sacrifices, which will never take away sins, but He, having offered one sacrifice for sins for all time, sat down at the right hand of God, waiting from that time onward until His enemies be made a footstool for His feet. For by one offering He has perfected for all time those who are sanctified. And the Holy Spirit Himself bears witness to us. We go on down to verse 19. Since therefore, brethren, we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new living way, which He inaugurated for us through the veil that is His flesh. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for He who promised is faithful. And then at the end of it, it says, make sure you go to church. Folks, what happens is we see
And the difference, and I still wonder if I've found the ones that I'm looking for, because the way that it was put, I thought, is that he made at one-ment. Look up just in the New Testament, just in the epistles, in fact, but New Testament, look up the word at one-ment, atonement, sorry. Because it says that he made at one-ment with those things. And, or he atoned them. I can't remember exactly. But folks, here's the deal. And we saw, either way, the picture. The Shadowlands was the tabernacle, the Ark of the Covenant, all of those things, the law on this earth. Okay? But Jesus went into the real ones. When did he do it? After the cross. And he had said, after he had been resurrected from the dead, receive the Holy Spirit. What was the difference? Earth and heaven had not yet become one. Jesus took his earthly blood into heaven. And it says, if we could ever find it, hopefully I'm not just another one of my wild dreams, old men dreaming dreams. He made it one-ment with of these things. With his own blood, we enter in through his flesh. And he sprinkled these things with the blood. With the blood of earth. The Son of Man has come into the very center of heaven. Before the life of God, the throne room, the Son of Man walks in, and every one of you inside the Son of Man. He walked in to that, and he walks in up to the Holy of Holies, and his flesh is there. And this is amazing, that's what it says. He walks in with his own flesh. He walked in through his own flesh. He steps in, and there, on the propitiation seat, lid is a much better word, the propitiation lid, he sprinkled his blood, the blood of the Son of Man, in a heavenly place for you and for me. Now, what's the difference? Receive the Holy Spirit. I don't know why that was done. I don't. Because later on, what was going, and perhaps it was him just simply making a commandment. It's coming. You need to be thinking of it, which is one of the reasons we have these discussions like this, to begin to rattle your cage. So you'll start thinking differently, to split your skull wide open so that something will leak in. And you begin to think of the Holy Spirit completely differently, that it is the Spirit of your Father who wants to live inside you. And instead, we've put him out there out of fear because of the charismatics, or he's just the least of all of the members of the Trinity. So bad, so wrong. And now we have been completely at one with heaven. And the Holy Spirit, living inside the body of Christ, can now live inside the body of Christ on this earth that's you and me. Does this make a little bit of sense to you? Who asked that question? I can't remember who asked it. You. Strike him. No. I don't know if that is completely the answer. It took us forever to get there. But there was a difference. Something else happened. When he went into heaven, after the ascension, something else happened. And it happened in the heavenlies. Think about it. We're told that it was at the cross that he defeated the powers of the principalities and rulers. He put his foot upon their neck at the cross. Colossians tells us that. Now, moving on in time, he is still dead. His body is dead. At the cross, he did this. You were crucified with him. Then, 3 days later, first fruits, the first resurrection of the dead, he comes alive with you inside. During that time, I believe also, is when he led captive, a host of captives. It says that he preached to the spirits now in prison. I believe that that was indicating that he went to Hades, I believe speaking to those that were believers. And so that they now have, they were already saved. Remember it talked about Abraham, the believer. We know that they were believers. They're believers, but they didn't have the name yet. So he was busy during these days. He went in, preached freedom to all this host of captives. We finally got the name, Yeshua. This is him. Oh my goodness. And he led them out of there. Whew, boy, that would have been something to see. And then he's resurrected from the dead. Now it's going to get real busy. And he begins to appear, but he has yet to ascend into heaven to make the atonement of the things that are in heaven. Do you understand? When that was done, it really was finished. It was then that he sat down at the right hand of power. Okay? And you sat down with him. You are seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. Okay? And you are there, but you're showing here. The Holy Spirit is there, but he's showing here too. Your Heavenly Father is living inside you now. Okay? I don't know if I answered your question, but I kind of think I did. I think that something else really big happened that was for the further redeeming and payment of man. This will get us, in fact, I'm going to go ahead and start now. We'll go ahead and I'm going to explain to you the tabernacle tonight. It got me excited a while ago, and I'm just chewing my tongue, so I got to be good. Ms. Davis, do you have something else that you want to say? I find that hard to believe. All right. Anyone else? Yes, ma'am.
I was wondering why Jesus spoke to Mary and told her not to touch him because he had not yet ascended to his Father. But then later the disciples touched him and such.
Yeah, you've come to the right place to answer that one. Ms. Davis? I have wondered that a long, long time. I don't know. The not clinging, I understand. Quit that. You're not supposed to be clinging to me like this. But not touching. And I've never understood. And I simply don't. And we'll have to break out the commentaries. I'm sure someone will tell us. I don't know. But watch me do it. But he didn't speak Elizabethan English. I don't know. Sorry.
So he didn't ascend to the Father then. He ascended later when we saw.
Appears to be.
The disciples
he stayed on earth for at least 40 days, appearing. There was a time period of 40 days in there. When they quote unquote tarried, they did not tarry for 40 days. At the time of the Passover, you counted 7 weeks, the Feast of Weeks, okay? And so during that 40-day time period, there was he died, resurrected, and began to appear to everyone, but the countdown has begun to Shavuot, all right? And he appeared during that time. But then eventually, right toward the end, he quit appearing. And he says, you need to tarry. And it was only for a matter of a few days. It was not 40 days. They had already gone through, 40 days. It wasn't 50 days. It may have been 40 days that, well, Jesus and they were just in Jerusalem and whatever. But when that time came that they were in the upper room really giving themselves over to that, about perhaps around 10 days or maybe a week,
is when they were doing that. Okay? Waiting for Shavuot. And they, I don't think they knew what they were waiting for. Okay, we're supposed to receive power. Okay. And had no idea. Boy, did they have no idea what was coming. And suddenly a mighty rushing wind. Whoo! And they couldn't sit still. And they couldn't shut up. Boldness suddenly came. I think it was at that time that we had been at one. He had sprinkled and he sat down. Everything was under his feet and it's over. Sat down.
For that passage with the woman in the sprinkling.
Did you find it?
I'm not sure.
Neither am I.
Says, much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we shall also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now been received the atonement.
No, that's not. This really, it talked about. I'll try to find it. And again, who knows? Maybe it was
just something that I dreamed up. It sounded like a nice thing, and so I wanted to believe it, put it into my theology, and it's true. That's not the one, but thank you. And sorry, I don't know the answer to that. I have thought, looked, stared, and about the only thing I've gotten out of that as I look at it is Joe doing in the garden, which is where that song came from. Picking on you, Joe. Anyone else?
That since he breathed on his disciples and he didn't breathe on Mary.
Say it again.
He breathed on the disciples and it doesn't say he breathed on Mary. Was she not allowed to touch him because she hadn't been breathed on? Maybe?
I don't know. I mean, it could be. I don't know. I have thought long and hard about it and I've asked, Lord, why? When I ask, Lord, why, I eventually, and I think everybody in here, please put that on your tongue. You need to ask your Father. He wants to tell you these things. Mm-hmm. Anyone else before we stop for this evening? Ms. Davis? See, she's over there digging. I mean, yeah. Something's coming up. Are you telling me? Because we're about to stop. What do you have?
I don't have anything.
Okay. All right. Yes, ma'am.
The passage you're looking for, it's not Ephesians 2, is it? Where he's talking about...
Thank you.
But now in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. Having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinance, for to make him himself between one new man, so making peace, that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off and to them which were nigh.
That's good, I like that.
What's the verse you're looking for?
That's what the problem is. Well, I thought it had it one of them, but maybe that'll be better.
The word of woman?
I thought so. We won't worry about it. We'll just go ahead and put it off. As...
I don't have the one that says a woman, but I have something...
It says atonement?
It's just a really good verse.
We like good verses.
Into Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, into the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel.
Yeah.
It doesn't have the word you're looking for, but...
But I mean, it's a very good verse.
That's that one right there.
It is. Give yourself a high five.
4 semesters of commentary.
That's right. Hey, all right.
Let's pray. Father, hallelujah. Continue to show us. Build it in our hearts. Knock down the walls of our unbelief. Give us belief within you. Rest within your Holy Spirit. Rightness, peace, and joy resting in you. The very life of God. We thank you for it. And I pray we don't have insomnia tonight, but that you give us rest for your name's sake. Amen.